Recording the meeting, just so everyone knows that. So we're calling the meeting to order 6:05. Roll call. Director Kennedy?
Here.
Director Army?
Here.
Director Palmer is here. Director O'Neill?
Here.
Director Fayram is absent. So if you'll all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. All right. Okay, well, thank you all for coming to our second meeting. If you have the agenda, we're just going to move through this, and there is a time for public comment for any item that's not on the agenda, so we will get there if that's of interest to you. So the first item of business is approval of the May 24th meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the May 24th meeting.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. First and second. Is there any discussion, any questions, clarifications? Those were in your agenda packet.
Yeah.
Okay, hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? No. Okay, so that's the minutes. Okay, now we'll move to item 5, which is director comments. So this is a time when directors will give a report on any meetings or conversations they may have had since the last meeting that are of interest to the board and the public. So, Director O'Neill?
I don't have anything. I'll expand on a few things down under item number 7.
Okay. Director Kennedy?
Not anything outside of what we'll be talking about later.
Okay. Director Army?
Same with me. Yes.
Okay. The only thing I have to report is I did participate in a CSDA, which is a California Special District Association webinar last week on website and online compliance for districts. And then subsequently, if we have a draft website set up, and I'm working with CSDA to have that up and going. We'll probably have that live next week. So any of you who have asked to be on our email, we'll let you know when that's up. So that'll have all the agendas, all the minutes, any public documents, and also just some general information on Brown Act and public meetings, so that if you're looking for general resources about special districts, those will be there as well. Okay. Okay, the next is item 6, public comment. So this is a time when any member of the public who's here who wishes to address the board may on any item that's not on the agenda. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board? No? Okay.
How much are property taxes going up?
That'll be determined once we move through this process. We're not to that point yet. We're just getting the system set up.
Years yet?
Yeah, you know, if you want to let us know what questions you have, we can write those down and certainly make sure those are taken into account going forward. Yeah, we should know where we all live. okay, anyone else have a comment? Yeah, Sam.
What is the time frame for the committee to pick a system for Los Olivos? I mean, you haven't picked which system you're going with yet, right?
No.
Like, so you're still looking into the different systems and how to go about doing it. So what is the time frame? When do you think the decision will be made on what system you'll be picking up?
Well, so a couple things. This is a time when you are making comments that aren't anything on the agenda. So we can take note of your question. This isn't a time when we engage in discussion as a board.
I know,
that's fine. So, but first we need to get the district up and going, that part A, and then we will be able to address that. But that is certainly on everybody's mind. And as soon as we get to the point where we can start roughing that out, then we'll do that. Okay, anybody else? Comments or questions? Okay. Thank you. And thank you all for being here. Okay, item 7, reports, ad hoc committee updates, ad hoc subcommittee updates. Item 1 is retaining legal counsel. So as part of our startup process, these are the key items we need to, one of the key items we need to do is retain legal counsel to make sure as we move forward as a district that we're properly advised. So Director Kennedy and I have worked over the last month doing some research. We have had a good amount of discussion and recommendation on the firm and attorney in particular who's with us tonight, Ross Trindle. They are currently engaged with the Isla Vista Community Services District. They are also a newly formed and up and running district and has additional municipal district experience. So if it will works, if it works for the other directors, I thought we'd have Ross address us, and then Julie and I can talk about where what we think the next best steps are for the board. So Ross, do you want to just spend a couple minutes and let us know who you are and your experience?
I will do
please.
So.
Thanks.
My name is Ross Trindle. I actually went to UC Santa Barbara. I graduated in 99, so I lived down in that area. I'm a 15-year practicing attorney. I split my practice between general counsel or transactional work, which includes supporting special districts like this district. And then the other half of my practice is doing litigation, where I primarily focus on the defense of public employees like police officers and firefighters and other public entities. I spent my entire career doing local government municipal work, and my firm is representing 42 lawyers right now. We represent 22 cities in California, six or seven special districts for general counsel, and we represent, I'd say, probably 50 more on what's called a special counsel basis, where we are retained to do legal issues, legal services on specific items, whether it be water, California Environmental Quality Act, California Voting Rights Act, whatever it happens to be. I've been doing this 15 years. I'm the general counsel for the Isla Vista Community Services District. I also represent the South Montebello Irrigation District, a water district in suburban Los Angeles area. My firm has been involved with the cityhood initiative by the city of Goleta in Santa Barbara County, as well as some other cities in San Bernardino, Riverside County in Southern California, East Vale, and Harupa Valley. We were involved with their steering committees as they looked at pursuing cityhood. What else can I say to give me an update or an idea? I've been doing this my whole career, like I mentioned. This is what my firm does. This is our entire focus is helping local governments serve their constituents, carrying out their wishes. What else? I can take questions.
Okay. Well, I would bring it back to the
sure.
directors. If any of you have specific questions, I did provide a draft contract that Mr. Trindle's firm provided to us for review. His executive committee has
yes.
green lighted him to move forward with that. If that it would be the desire of the board, do any of you have questions for him?
I'm actually familiar with the firm, and it's a nice outfit down there. More along from the lines of the contract and
mm-hmm.
The business aspect of it is I've gone through and made some comments and just potential red lines for us, and how do you want to deal with
why don't
that?
You just send me your comments?
Send with them?
Yeah, if you could
do
that.
It won't be much, but we'll
okay.
just get them back there.
Yeah.
Just clarification.
Sure.
I think one of the things that's worth noting in their proposal is that it's a significantly reduced rate, and they are willing to work with us through the end of the year without any payment because we don't have any money to pay them. So that's not the reason to hire them, but it is, I think, a sign of a willingness to, invest and make sure we get off to our best start, knowing that we're in a little bit of a chicken or an egg position where we are beholden and legally required to make certain things happen, but we want to make sure we do it properly with,
it's kind of reflective of the philosophy that the executive committee and the partners at my firm have, that, we like to serve the people who serve, their communities. That we've been doing this for the entire existence of the firm, and all of the founding partners came from other municipal law firms, and they've been doing this their entire lives. Our Dave Alishire, who is Alishire of Alishire & Winder, his father was a city manager, and he grew up in the culture of local governments. And we, as a kind of a firm philosophy, believe that the best work of government happens at the local level, where we can interact with the members of the community, we can hear what it is that they, as they communicate to the elected officials, and we can help guide the elected officials down the legal path. We don't act as policy advisors. We will tell that that's for the elected board to decide based on input from the residents. But we will say, if you choose policy A, these are the issues you can look for. B, these are the issues that you can look for. C, which one do you want to pick? And we will support you in whichever policy decision there is that you pick. I think another thing that maybe is important to some folks is we don't get involved in politics. We don't give contributions to campaigns or elected officials when they're running. We don't accept gifts. So we helped rehabilitate the city of Bell after they ran into their problems. We came in, helped get everything cleaned up, and got them kind of back on the path towards serving their constituents as opposed to some of the other things that you might have read about. So we like to get things running. We like to get things efficient. My goal is to get to a point where the district runs itself by providing forms and templates so that you don't have to keep coming back to the lawyers and ask questions about this, that. We try to make it as simple as possible. We try and make sure that, you know, we respect in the same way that the elected officials respect the fact that we're spending your money. And so that's always in the forefront of our mind. We're trying to keep the cost as low as we can because ultimately it's the public's dollar. We don't get paid by big corporations or, you know, big foundations or anything like that. We get paid by taxpayers, and taxpayers live on a budget, so should we.
One quick question, and I'm not familiar with the totality of municipal law, but since we don't have our options are varied, whether we're going to partner up with City of Solvang or we're going to do something with San Ynez, everything's on the table. Is in normal public law work, basically there's conflict of interest on representing various agencies in the municipality side. Does your firm have any other representation in some of those districts that we may be working with to try to get this thing resolved, and would it cause a conflict of interest?
That's an excellent question. The answer is no. We don't represent any public entities in the San Ynez Valley. The closest one is the Iowa State Community Services District, but their sphere doesn't overlap with yours. You've got a good 30 miles or so between the two. So no, there wouldn't be any conflicts, okay. And we don't have any representation of any other entities in the area.
Okay.
Excellent question.
One, I'm going to take advantage of you being up there,
please.
Especially for the next line, the next item that we're going to be discussing. When I'm looking through the proposed scope, there's a lot of perceived interaction with the general manager of the district, along with, you know, financial needs and how would you see you, and what was your experience with forming a relationship with the different entities, supporting the gaps and dealing with the overlaps?
It's tough when you're starting out because you have legislatures, you have the policymakers also having to wear administrative hats. So we had this problem in Isla Vista where they didn't have any staff, and now they only have a part-time contract general manager because the same thing, they just didn't have any funds. So a lot of it is coordinating. It's a little bit of a kabuki dance and trying to make sure that you don't have any Brown Act violations, but if there's a way to make it work, it doesn't work well in the sense of it's not terribly efficient, but it is a way to keep you out of trouble in terms of complying with the Brown Act and getting the things done that you want to get done. Now, ultimately, you want to get into a position where you have a general manager and maybe you have a contract staff person to support the general manager. It depends on, you know, the relationship with the general manager. We work closely with public entities that have, like cities, they have what's called a manager council form of government. So the general manager or the city manager is the top executive, and they take direction from the elected officials, and then that person goes out and implements policy. But as legal counsel, we represent the district as policy is made through the board. So I don't report to any one particular member, I report to the collective. So if one member comes to me and says, hey, I really think we should do this, you know, can you go out and do that? I can't. Legally, I can. Ethically, I can't. But if the board makes a decision and says, we are going to do this, policy A, help us do it, and they take a vote, and that's the, it's a majority vote, that's my job is now to go out and support that policy decision. So having a good relationship with each of the directors is important. We want there to be comfort. We want there to be trust. And when eventually you have staff or a general manager, what have you, it's the same thing. We work very closely, but in the end, we don't report to a staff person. We don't report to one general, one director. We report to the entire board, and we implement the policy that the majority of the board decides. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
It's good.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions from the directors, from the board? Okay, so I think my preference, and I think Director Kennedy as well, would be to bring the contract back to the board. Tell me your firm name again. I can't.
Alishire.
I get tripped up on the Alishire. Mr. Trindle's firm, bring that back to the board at our next meeting. We'll talk about when the next meeting is,
mm-hmm.
But bring the contract back for consideration and approval. So that's
our motion?
Preference. That's not, no, this is only a report. I'm just saying that's our preference, is that we'd like to agendize it and bring it back at the next meeting.
Okay.
So, okay, that's it for us. Ross?
I just hand these to you.
Oh, okay.
That way you can do research on your own.
Thanks
so much.
Talking
to each other and violating the Brown Act.
No.
Yeah, appreciate it. Here, anyone else wants it there? Okay. All right. Any, Ross, any last comments or any last questions or comments from the board? Otherwise, we can move on. I want to thank you for coming up and making yourself available. We appreciate that. Okay. So moving on to the next report, retaining a general manager. That subcommittee is Director Fay Ram and Director O'Neill. And Director O'Neill's here to tell us what's new.
Thank you, Director Palmer. more important, thank you, Ross. Appreciate that. This is a good lead into what we're up against because, you know, as we started off, we're brand new. Last meeting was the first one, and we're trying to get our act together. And, you know, a couple of the first things we're going to take a look at is financial, legal representation, and insurance. And I think that's what we're really focused on tonight. And the way to pull that together would be a general manager support staff that we have. As you indicated, there's a lot of compliance issues with Brown Act. Thank you for last time we had the meeting. We had a nice little introduction. Director Fayram and I have got together to discuss our needs with the general manager, and we've identified that we're probably going to be looking for a part-time contract general manager. Obviously, the district is not in a position, nor I believe desires to hire into any employers or any individual labor people and all that stuff. So, at this point, I'm not prepared to actually go out for general consumption with a project description and a couple resumes that we found, but I have put it out there for a draft for you guys to take a look at, and we'll address it afterwards. I want to put it in front of you guys so we can just help start the brain cells going to identify what the scope of work is going to be for a DM, because there is a lot of overlap, as I asked you before, between the financial, the legal, and the insurance and all the different aspects of running a district here. Again, I took a stab. I think some of the best funds that we've spent so far have been working with the CSDA. No doubt about that.
We haven't spent anything.
Yeah, well, that's
just
true.
Just for the record.
Definitely best funds. It's a great online repository for everything that we need. So I've gone out there and
is this what drafts a description based on a pre?
The project description was based
CSDA
on a few
document?
A few of the things that we found on the CSDA
okay.
website. However, I took that and sent it on out. We refined it with working with some other subcontractors and some potential consultants that we've talked to. So it's a hybrid of that. And I'll get to that in a second here. So again, working alongside Director Freyren, we've identified the needs of the district. And what I want to do is I'll put that forth in front of the for the insurance and the finance stuff, again, because there is a lot of overlap. I ran into a lot of, we ran into a lot of overlap or a lot of potential misunderstandings of what actually the GM role is going to be. Is it going to be more administrative, setting up, supporting the district, or is it actually going to have a district engineer type function, especially when we start getting back into solutions and stuff down the line? So I've identified under the potential job functions, there's a little E there that I anticipate that that would be more of the district engineer. So to that end, we kind of kept going around in some circles, so we ended up focusing on a short-term solution versus a long-term solution. In the short-term solution, we discussed that it would be reaching out to a consultant-type firm that we are familiar with. We have about three or four three that we ended up talking with, and through them, we identified a couple candidates. One of the top candidates is put in front of you to help us in the short term, which I believe anywhere from 90 to 120 days to get the actual district up and running. And at that point, part of the scope there would be to formalize the job description and actually go out and help us with the procurement or the hiring of a contract position. So does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, I have a couple questions when you're done.
So again, our goal is to get the district up and running, probably reach out to a consultant to help us out, and then again we would reach forward to the long-term solution. Unfortunately, Director Fahrum has been out to finalize a lot of the stuff that's happened over the last couple of days, so I haven't really communicated with him. And again, my intent is to reach out for your comments, interact with everything, and have this ready for our next meeting to potentially formalize for public consumption. So
okay.
With that, I open up to questions from the board here.
Well, I'll start, unless either Julie or Mike, I can call you director. So I guess, Ross, I have a question for you. If knowing you're not our counsel.
I can give you legal information.
You can give me legal information, not advice. So if we, with a startup district, is a short-term GM contract for 90 to 120 days to help with the administrative portion of getting the district formed and getting policies in place and getting us moving, is that enough time or not?
Is it more like a six-month thing?
It's probably more like 6 months.
Okay. Thank you.
And following up on that, the idea was the procurement aspects of it, sourcing and not having to go through the whole tender actual process. We were thinking that a short-term approach to that would actually help out. So there's a give and a take right there.
Correct. You're looking at an interim general manager type of a position. Mm-hmm. And interim, as long as you're not going, too far past 6 months and certainly not past 9 months, then you're still within kind of the interim period. And then once you get to a point where you have the position finalized, a typical practice would be then to set up the RFP process or request for proposals to receive proposals and have it be competitively bid. That would be a more normal or a standard practice, but you gotta get to that point first. You can do it kind of an interim basis, like I said, between 6 to 9 months in length. And I think people that you're looking at will probably be able to give you a better idea on the administrative load that you're going to require, and they'll be able to give you a more definite period of time. They may come in and look at it and say, yeah, I can do this in 120 days, no problem, or I can do this in 90 days. And if they tell you, no, it's going to take me a year, I'll find somebody else.
Right, okay.
If I said thank you for showing up.
And to one follow-up request for information is, for an interim position, we can sole source that contract. It doesn't have to be competitive. We can say this is the person we want. We can let this contract for a temporary period, and then the follow-up would be to do the RFP.
That is consistent with the government.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Great. Okay.
So in the startup process, since it's mostly administrative stuff and trying to get this thing up and running and go through all the loops, it seems like in a short period of time, having someone's strength that's more that way,
administrative
than the engineering
yeah.
side. And then when we go to bid it out and we actually start going forward for the long-term solution, maybe the engineering side,
right.
the guy that's really going to guide us through that deal.
Yeah.
But it just seems like, I keep thinking, since I've been involved in a lot of organizations, you know, like an executive director type person that just does all the admin, gets everything together. Because we're doing this and we can only talk once a month and we keep nothing
collectively.
So we need someone just kind of get all the stuff going. And I could see it being more of an administrative type deal than a actual engineer.
As a comment to that, that's exactly what has happened. We've gone down, Director Fayrim and I have gone down and we've had to do a double take back because we ended up going down more of the civil, the district engineering route than the administrative stuff. And I believe it's time to pull back, especially with the rates that and the time frame that we were proposed.
Well, not only that, but you yourself, engineer, and you don't like doing any of this stuff
easy.
Either. So the people who hire the engineers are going to want to do this either. So it's just like one of those deals.
So, right. Okay. So, knowing Director Fayrim has been gone, he's back the 30th. So, I mean, I know we're not taking action. My preference would be to bring back a proposed contract for an interim GM, not to its, you know, maybe a 6-month contract with an extension to 9 months. And then let's get the administrative stuff we need instead of trying to eat the whole elephant on the engineering side. Let's just get the admin work we need done in 6 to 9 months max, and then that'll give us some breathing room to do the longer term.
And then we'll also be able
contract.
To identify from the engineer side more when we put out the RFP. Basically, we can have more of a detailed description of what we're looking for, really, and
right.
more focused on exactly what our solution
right.
is, type deal then.
Right. Right.
Because right now we're just...
Technically, we don't have one.
Yeah.
Officially. Okay.
I have a question, Brian. In your discussion with M&S, they have experience with startup district activities?
They feel that they can do it. There's not that many people. There's not that many districts within the last, 100 years here that have been a startup here in Santa Barbara County and SLO County.
Okay.
Yes.
Their
response, and two of the other people that I've talked to, too, also have been involved with reformation of districts, which is basically a startup on that, too.
Right.
Okay.
A do-over.
There's been a
good,
lot of
right.
do-overs lately.
Okay,
and so I think we can either talk about it now or talk about it with scheduling when you can bring something back for action.
Well, the action moving forward is to get everything that we found in front of Director Fayrim and myself, take another run through it with we're asking for the rest of the board to take a look at the scope of work that we've identified, and then we would move on to actually doing, let's call it a tender instead of a procurement, going out there, hitting the short list that we've identified and getting people in.
Unless there's a reason we have to, I don't think that has to be a two-step process. I can see a recommendation with a contract coming together at the same time. Just given where we are, I mean, unless there's information that would tell us otherwise. But I think there's I don't think it has to be a two-step process. I think we're...
Yeah.
Just, that's my feedback.
Because
we'll have a meeting in July, we'll have a interim meeting in July, and then probably a regular meeting in the third week of July. We'll get there. So that's my feedback. I don't know how the other directors feel, but that's my
I think you guys have a pretty good idea what we need. Short term, anyway.
The difference would be if there's nobody who fits those qualifications, right? But if there are candidates that fit the bill, then somebody you would recommend, you and Director Fayrim would recommend, then I'd certainly entertain that.
I believe that by the proposed interim meeting in July, we'll have someone to present with anything in front of you.
Okay, that'd be great.
We'll use a little help in between there from a little informal back feedback. But
Yeah, well, in the meantime, you still have your you still are a subcommittee of two.
Roger.
Right. So, awesome. Thank you for doing the legwork on that. appreciate it. Anything else on the general manager subject? No, these are just reports. I'll do that later. Okay, item three, securing district insurance. It says Director Army and Palmer, but you've been the lead on that.
Like the Brian kind of talked about, there's not a lot of new formations that have started recently, and so our best resource was through the CSDA, the organization, and they guided me through a situation where there's a special district's risk management authority that writes a lot of the policies for a lot of the CSDs and a lot of the organizations. And because we're brand new and we're kind of in our infancy and we really don't even have everything structured in yet, there's a little bit of apprehension because they look for, like, anytime you do insurance on anything, they want your loss records for the last 6 years. They want to know this. They want to know what the chances of, you know, your liabilities are out there in suits and, you know, what you have. And we have nothing, right? So we're basically coming and saying, well, we just formed and we need to have insurance, we're told. So what do you want to cover? And they go, well, how many employees do you have? None. Well, how many vehicles do you have? We have none. Well, where's your building at? We don't have one, you know? So it's that whole kind of realm. But they were very great in guiding us through, and they actually gave us a quotation that was very, it fit what we needed at this time, and we can adjust it as we grow, but everything would be covered. I put it out to two other, I went to my insurance broker that I've had for the last 30 years in my business side, and he put it out to a couple other companies that were waiting back on them, but they had the same thing. I mean, they, you know, were new, you don't have anything, and it was this. So I also showed him what they quoted us, and he thought that it was super competitive. The only caveat in this is that we would have to become full-fledged members of the CSDA to benefit in this, which we're planning on doing anyways. It's like a $500 a year thing for us to belong, but it's really good for the organization. So we haven't dialed it down yet, but we did find, the good thing is we can get insurance, and I'm trying to get two more quotes for competitive bids so we can see exactly where we're at. But it's very negligible, and it's not going to break an arm and leg to get it. So I'm very happy with that. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you. So Ross,
yes.
I have a question for you, or a request for more information. two things. One, you'd mentioned, was it Gold? You'd mentioned an insurance outfitter.
Golden State Risk Management Authority.
Golden State. Was that on your list? Golden State Risk Management?
I don't know. I got,
anyway, that was another okay. One. Golden State. And then, is there a time limit or requirement that a new, like, when you're newly formed by X days, months out, you need to have insurance, or what's the trigger for
insurance? There's no legal requirement to have insurance. It's just one of those things that you want in case somebody comes in and trips and falls over the threshold and they want to sue the district.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a best practice, and we need to cut. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Most.
Okay.
Most public entities are what's called self-insured. They have a set of reserves set aside. They have a certain limit for their reserves for litigation purposes if they get sued for anything, employment, tort, whatever it happens to be. And then the insurance authorities usually come in and provide an excess layer above and beyond that. Smaller districts like this don't have a self-insured account. They come in and they're the primary policy provider.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I'm pretty sure that the policies you're looking at, they're going to cover things like employment, auto, a whole bunch of things that you're not going to need right away.
Right. Yeah, they just put zero value on
it. You will probably need in the future at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Director Air and Emissions is probably the biggest one that you need right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it sounds like then we can continue. I mean, you've got the quotes. You'll get some additional ones in. But that sounds like something, Julie, that we need to just plug into the budget and prioritize when we have funds that we pull the trigger on.
This is what I would do going forward.
Okay.
So if you plug that in the budget. And then again, too, it's depending when are we going to wait until we actually have funding and we're going to go through all that stuff when we would actually be able to secure this.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like then there's plugging it into the budget, and then there's prioritizing what we plugged in when and how it gets funded. Okay. So it sounds like Well, anyway, timing on that, we'll hear from Julie next on the budget and timing.
What Ms. Doherty told me basically too, she said, as we get going forward, it's very critical that we get insured by the time funding takes place. Meaning, so if we don't get our funding until November, you know, but we need to have things secured by the time the money starts coming, because that's when issues can happen. So in this, you know, 60, 90 day period, not super critical. It'd be nice to have it in place, but when the tax gets approved and the money starts coming in, we need to have our insurance in place.
Right. So how have they in the past dealt with having it in place before you have money?
That was a gray area that she didn't talk
about.
That
was a gray area. Yeah, Jay.
Given the situation, have we asked Santa Barbara County for an advance against the funds that come in that would enable us to be paying these bills? I mean, director's insurance is critical right now.
That's going to be in Julie's report. Right, that's next. Yeah. So, okay, that answered my question. Okay. All right, so then that's a good segue. Unless, did you have
I have two questions.
Comment or question?
Three, actually. One is, was Ross had covered on this stuff, is are we making sure that there's E&O and D&O? Mm-hmm. So that's one. Along those lines, whoever the preferred provider is or broker, is there any way that we can invite them in to go over the D&O?
I'm sure we can. Yeah.
We'll see.
It'd be nice
we go
to
down,
have them here.
Hit them up as it goes. And then finally, even though I totally know and understand the answer to this question, but I want to go on record as saying this is a insurance policy that's pretty much specific to districts and the CSDA, and I want to make sure that, because we are a community district, okay,
yes,
is that we can reach out to any of the local insurance brokers to support us on this and make sure that we're at least looking into the local economic aspect of this. Unfortunately, I can answer that own question is that this is going to be outside of a normal insurance broker as we are.
Yeah, and really what, even going through the normal process, what I found out is that they don't really want to touch us yet until we're actually formed and have some track record. It's like...
Well, we're formed.
Yes, we have no track record.
And we have no money, so we have no risk and no liability until November, right?
Okay.
A question. Can you give a quick overview of what startup costs? I mean, are you guys getting a salary?
No.
Do you have a manager going to get a salary?
Well, Julie's going to address that, Director Kennedy, when she's going to give the next item is the budget and financing. Mm-hmm. So she's going to address the financial aspects of where we are and how, and our, you know, we'll be looking at adopting a budget in the coming.
It sounded like you were kind of already getting in there because you were talking about not having any money.
Right. Well, I'll, yeah. Makes the budget budgeting really easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else
on
the
you.
Insurance? Thanks,
thank
Mike,
you.
For
thank you for
progressing
your
that. Okay. So then moving to item four on the subcommittee updates is the 2018 budget and financing.
Okay.
Which is Julie. Do you want me to let me know when you want me to pull that up,
okay,
and I will.
Yeah, everybody wants to know about the money.
So I'll just pull it up.
So let me just first a quick overview. So Director Faram and I have met with a number of folks from the county, including Harry Hagan, the treasurer tax collector, as well as Ed Price, who heads up the auditor controller's office. Everybody's been extremely helpful and forthcoming with information. And so the good news is that we'll be able to get an advance on the property tax assessment. And it's very likely we'll have that in place by the middle of August. So, you know, as far as taking care of some of these bills that we have, et cetera, we'll be in pretty good shape to get that going. So there are some procedurally a lot of things we have to do. One of the items is on the agenda tonight.
Sorry, it's like all or nothing, huh?
Yeah.
But she likes that better.
All right, turn it off.
There you go.
Yeah, turn off one.
It's the longest day.
So we have a very good we have a good handle on what we need to do in order to get all the pieces in place with the county in order to get the funding in place. A fund has already been established for us. We'll also be looking to use the county as for our financial services. They have a whole financial accounting system, so we can make use of that for the price is pretty low. Isla Vista was about $500. It was nominal, so there's no reason for us to go outside and do something on our own. So what I've got right here, this is just one of the things we've been trying to just make sure we got our heads wrapped around is what are some of the critical timelines that we have and items that we need to do. So again, just under our startup procedures, the contract to approve the auditor controller's office, that is on the agenda tonight. And that basically says that we authorize them to collect taxes, assessments, et cetera, on our behalf. We'll be working then with the auditor's controller's office to put together an agreement for the financial services. This is the use of their financial accounting software. They'll also provide us with training, including general manager, if they don't have that knowledge already. The nice thing, I will just say for everyone's benefit, is the financial software that they have, they'll load our budget right into it once we've approved it and adopted. And all of the reporting and everything will then coincide. So what this means for you is that there will be a solid ability for us to maintain compliance, but also good, proper reporting, which coming down the road, that's going to be pretty important. I mean, as a government entity, one of the things you have to do is show that you're responsibly spending taxpayer money, and that's what the reporting is designed to do. So again, we'll be doing that directly with the county. We do have two items that are anxiously awaiting payment. We have a Board of Equalization tax bill and then the County Elections Office invoice. Both have said, we understand where you are. Once you have funding in place, you know, write us a check. So what I did next was try to create two buckets. We have the budget and finance activities. And then we have the rate setting and tax collection. And one of the key things that we need to do, as everybody's already talked about, is we do have to put together a budget. Now what we're gonna do is pull the Bergson study. There was a pretty good startup budget that was created, and we're gonna review that. I mean, as we know right now, we have an insurance cost. I just can't remember if it was in there or not. But we'll go ahead and review that, and we'll be bringing that back for consideration. And Mr. Trindle was helpful in letting us know that we do have to put out the budget for public consideration, and then we can no earlier than 2 weeks from doing that, we have a meeting to approve it. So for those of you in the community that are interested in seeing this information, we're going to look to try to compile this rather quickly so that we can keep everything moving in line. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about agenda items for next meeting.
Please.
Once we have the contract for the tax collection done, that's on the agenda tonight, we can then start to proceed with some of the other items to get everything in place with the county office. One of the other key components is the rate setting. And the auditor's office puts together an updated parcel list, which it should be available. It was supposed to be available yesterday. We should be receiving it from the county any day now. We have an opportunity then to look at that and make sure if there are any corrections or whatever, we can put all of that towards the county. The key is that we want to do it well ahead of August 10th, ideally by July 27th. So that's the review and update, the APN, submit it to the AC. That's the Auditor Controller's Office. That's a key deadline. We will also at that time pass the resolution for the special assessment. And so again, I know everybody's concerned, what's my property tax hit gonna be? The ballot measure did include a provision for the approval of an assessment, and it had a cap, $200,000. So what we're essentially gonna do is once we get this the updated APN, that's gonna list all the parcels, and we're simply going to just divide it, and everybody's going to get assessed a flat fee with a not to exceed. Now, one of the things that we did discuss with the county is we're not going to look to borrow, the full amount, correct. We're going to look to do somewhere around, you know, more like 75% of the full amount. So that's what we're going to look to do instead of trying to, you know, just use all of the money up at once. We want to be really judicious and economical. Again, you know, we're all in this boat together here. So that's, like I said, so that's going to be how the APN data would work. We also then have a little, some other housekeeping items that would also be due around, ideally, we would submit to the county by that July 27th. That's the submission requirements. And then there are some filings that would be done as we move through the fiscal year and certainly after the end of the fiscal year, but they don't have dates on there right now, as I'm really trying to make sure that we get our first 90 days done properly. So in terms of the budget and finance, we've got the information, the procedures that we need to get done in order to get ourselves up and running with the county, and then the budget component will be done here in short order so that we, right now, in targeting a mid-July meeting so we could approve the budget. So you can expect you'll see that data, the budget, the proposed budget, posted a minimum of 2 weeks before that meeting. And you'll have the opportunity to comment and provide feedback as well. So again, want to make sure everybody knows that it's not being done in a vacuum. I think that's the biggest stuff. So
just as an adjunct to Julie's comment, so the new website is very, it's simple, robust, and we will have everything on there. So as soon as we have a draft budget, that'll get uploaded to the website. So instead of having to add, again, especially when we don't have staff, you have to track one of us down. We'll have everything on that website. And it's also set up to have a direct link to all county documentation. So if you want to go in and look at, the APN list that the county provided, it's instead of us repackaging it, you can go, and there'll be a link there that takes you straight to the county. So I just want to let you know, again, I know this is new for everybody, but I think it's perfect timing to get that website up and then, have all the information as we produce it and make it available. Will be there for all of you to access.
Are we allowed to ask questions?
I know. It's a formal process, but it's still
right. So I just asked to get the emails just 10 minutes ago from that. I'm just wondering, are you going to email out the budget, or will you email saying, hey, the budget's available, or are we just supposed to remember by July 15th we need to look on the website and then ask for
it? Right. It is our intent to have an email list. I don't think in the short term here that we're going to be able to do that.
What we might be able to do, though, is once the website's up, if it's up before that time and we're going to post to the website, we could send out an email and just say the budget's now on the website,
right.
Instead of doing that whole deal. I mean, we could do something like that maybe and just have.
Or post up. We'll definitely keep an eye at the post office because that's a key place where we're going to, we can put information and everybody goes and gets their mail. But I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's short term here because we're looking to move rather quickly. So I don't know if we're going to be able to actually email that out in advance. So
we'll be able to send an email. I mean, I'll commit. If you're here and you put your name on an email list, we'll make sure at a minimum we email and say it's up on the website.
Right.
And that's where we go look at it anyway.
Yeah.
So that would be great. Yeah.
It's going to be simple, obviously. Not like the school budget. It's not going to be like that.
And Julie, is it fair to say that the budget is going to look very similar to the budget, the year one budget that appeared in what we call the Burson study? So when we had that governance study done, I'm looking at all the different governance options. The Locally Creating Our Own CSD, it had a first year budget and a subsequent year budget. So that's where we got the amount that was approved as part of the tax assessment, right?
Okay.
Looking at those costs that we anticipate. So we're not starting from scratch. That's that budget that was studied, that was said, what is it going to cost? That's the basis for our first year budget.
Right, and we know a few other things too, so
those
we'll be able to plug that in.
A year, almost two,
And to answer your question, none of us are getting paid.
Yeah.
We're all volunteers. Since we all are fitting the bill too, just like you all are, we decided when we ran that none of us would be compensated for our time. It's just to try to make everything as more economically as possible and keep our costs down, and let's get this done.
You will have a website eventually.
Yes. Yeah, they're working on that right now.
Yeah, I'll have it up next week sometime. I mean, I have, there's a draft. It's just a fine tuning thing at this point.
And the budget will be on that website.
When the budget's available, it'll be on the website. And if you leave us an email address today, we'll make sure we let you know when the budget's up.
Right. There's a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd like to do that. Just jot your email address down there with it, and we'll do that.
Jay, you have a question?
I was just going to, simple comment. It'd be really helpful when you have something like this, if you had a handout, so that we could be making notes on it.
Right, we were making changes kind of at the, like, to the last minute of the day.
We're getting there.
It was just not.
We'll talk to our staff about that.
Yeah. We'll get our admin.
We will, for sure, the next meeting, we will have handouts of the budget and any other ancillary.
Jay, I can't see it either, so.
When you're old, see now, like me, you can't.
I have an extra copy here if you'd like.
Did that answer you had other questions?
That sign-up sheet just has addresses on it, doesn't have email.
Well, just write your email.
Just write your email, sorry.
Yeah.
The admin left the sign-up sheet at home on the printer.
So just another budgetary question. So this budget you're talking about is specific for the CSD, which may be.
That's a good question.
And I guess my question is, so that's different than the sewer project?
Yes, this is for the operation, the day-to-day operation of the CSD. And by the way, the fiscal year runs July 1 through June 30.
Okay.
Why? That's what the county
how
is.
They are.
That's what the county is. So.
And so there would be a special, so there's an assessment and then a special bill would come out, or would we see it on our property tax when the next round of property tax comes out?
When the October tax bills are sent out, you'll see the assessment there.
So that's where it would be.
Yeah, okay. So it would be half on that one and half on payment number two.
Did you say half on what?
On, you know how you, when you get your tax bill, there's two payments?
Oh, December 10th, right. April 10th, or whatever.
So half on one, half on the other.
Okay.
You're going to get two bills.
I don't know. I think we should, I have 4.5 acres there. I think they could put the sewer plant there on my 4.5 acres.
Sounds good.
Well, we'll come talk to you.
Yeah.
I could sell it cheap. It's a few million. I mean,
Today only, right?
Today only. Yeah. It makes the neighbors happy. See, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. All right. Other directors, any other questions about the process and such? So, Mr. Trindle, did you want to pine in on something?
The only comment I would have is that the government code specifies that the notice is actually put in the newspaper. So if you want to go above that, above and beyond that, certainly you can do so. It just has to be published in a newspaper of general circulation in this district.
Okay, thanks for the heads up on that.
And that's the notice that the budget's available, not the budget itself.
Correct. Just to be clear. Okay. So that's what notifies everybody that the budget will be available on this day, starting on this day. This is where you can find it, and that you can make comments, etc.
Okay, so there's another place you can.
That's the proposed budget.
Got it. Thank you.
And just a little recommendation on that. I'm the planning director for the city of Solvang, and the time that a local newspaper of general circulation is longer than you think.
Oh yeah.
So prepare your public notice, hearing notice, about at least 3 weeks in. Yeah, today.
Yeah. Right. I know. I've done a few. Fictitious business name statements, and yeah, it's always that'll be in next week's paper. Okay.
I've got just a couple little questions here because we don't have the opportunity under the Browns. We can't talk that much, so I apologize. But
that's okay.
The advance on the property tax for operational needs, how much is that going to be? Is that going to be low? The county's going to charge us a low interest rate on that, correct?
Yes, it's we actually are. It's called the Teeter Plan, right? Is that correct? It's the Teeter Plan. Thank you. And so we are part of a pool, and I don't recall that Harry Hagan told us what the interest rate was, but it was pretty nominal as an advance. And then we would, obviously we would need to repay it by April, end of April, which we would with the collection of taxes. And then from that point on, we're solvent. We're on our own.
So from a timing perspective, when we move down the agenda to the, what triggers the ability of the county to
pre-pay?
Well, again, because the county treasurer is by default our treasurer.
So we don't have to do anything?
We can just ask for the advance?
What action does the board need to take?
According to Harry Hagan right now, the board doesn't have to do...
Who's Harry Hagan?
He's the county treasurer, tax collector. The board doesn't need to do anything. However, you'll see that I did hand out, there was the set of paperwork. The key thing that triggers it is when you submit your final APN. So once we get that report of all the parcels and we go through and we make sure it's updated, it's corrected, we drop in on the spreadsheet what the per parcel charge will be. We send that back to the county along with some other documents. That's the July 27 deadline, by the way. That's the stuff we want to have in by the 27th. And that is when...
that's the trigger. So if they accept that, and then they will green light advancing us a portion of the tax.
Exactly. And then plan to the October tax bill goes out, that assessment would be on there.
Okay.
So funding-wise, if we did the pre-fund thing, middle of August, later part of August, we might receive funds?
It would be pretty quick right after. It's just we're part of the pool. And like I said, the fund is already set up, our fund number, where they've already went ahead and done that for us. So as soon as, it's pretty much as soon as we get our paperwork in, pretty much they can go. Because it's not reliant on the collection of taxes.
No, it's reliant on us getting them the parcel number list and then giving them the per parcel assessment.
Correct.
And then they'll calculate whatever 75% you said, or whatever percentage
that we did,
amount
they're advancing
us.
Exactly. Okay. And that's what it's gone out. Yeah. That's what the July 27 deadline, that's when we want to make sure we have it in. And we can certainly have it done sooner, especially once we get the updated parcel list from the county.
Okay. Which should be any day.
Any day now.
Yeah. Okay.
May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many parcels are involved in this? Is it like 100 and...
It's like 441, 463, but we'll get the most recent from the assessor's office.
Like more like in the 400s versus the 100s.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else?
So on budget and financing subcommittee report, okay, do you have questions for her?
Yeah, let me just finish up. Okay. You talked about the transactions that the county is going to support, and they will run through the financial department and stuff.
Right, their FIN system is what they call it.
Right. When we were talking with a couple of IV folks and a couple of the other community service districts, they talked about the costs being based on transaction or lump sum basis.
My understanding is it's a lump sum.
Okay, because we were cautioned as a whole not to go on the transaction base, per transaction base. I was just going through my notes.
I'll make sure that's what we put together. Well, you'll see there will be a contract that will come back with the auditor controller's office that will stipulate all of the terms in using them as our financial and accounting service.
We were harshly recommended not to go on that way, both Tom and I. And if you're on your notes when we do get the APN map, can you ask them to provide it in either a .dwg or a shapefile so that we can get it, not just a straight list.
Okay.
So we can deal with it graphically.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
They are going to provide an Excel spreadsheet, but what's the format you would also like?
CAD or GIS, which would be a .dwg or a .shp file.
So basically you can plot it.
Yeah, well, I can graphically depict everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, thank you.
And, okay, thank you.
Okay.
Do we already have a bank account set up?
No, that's actually a benefit if we go with the county. We don't need a bank account. Everything is handled via a warrant system, so that means we would input anything that needs to get paid, and it would come right from the county.
Oh, nice.
So that eliminates another...
Right, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. They can provide the service.
Right, right.
So, and they have the infrastructure already set up.
Exactly.
Anything else for Director Kennedy on the budget and finance? Thank you to you and Tom. Yeah.
How is the budget approved?
As Mr. Trimble noted, we will put out the proposed budget. You'll have a minimum of 2 weeks to review and come to the meeting and comment and ask questions, and then the board will approve or not, depending on.
Well, it sounds like you four or five board members will be approving the budget. You'll take comments, but there's no vote from the public as far as whether we want to spend the money or not.
The ballot measure.
Well, I don't get to vote. I don't live here, so I have property here, but I didn't get to vote.
Got it.
When we get the sewer. You will once we figure out what the solution is.
Yeah. When we get to the solution part, and you might be able to provide information on this as well if you wish. But when we get to the assessment to pay for the actual system, that does involve property owners, not just registered voters. So
we will get to vote on that.
You'll have
a
say. Yes.
You have a say.
You get to vote.
Well, our goal is to present a couple of options that we feel are the best options for everybody, and then the public will have another vote on it, or I believe, and comment and vote, and they'll...
I think it's an option.
Other votes are required.
Yes.
Right. An option.
So you will have total transparency on that.
We
just need to come up with what's going on.
Through this process.
You haven't started on the process of selecting a system yet.
Not yet. I mean, early on when this whole thing was going through, there was a lot of stuff thrown out, but everything's on the table. Right now, we're just trying to get form so we can figure out how we can go forward. We got to go through all this stuff first before we can actually try to feel what we were elected for to solve the problem. So that's kind of where we're at.
Good question, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. Okay, anything else, Julie?
No,
thank
that's
you.
It. We can actually... bypass the other thing since we covered it all.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for your reports. So next we're moving on to business items.
Public comment?
Actually, does anyone else from the public have any comments on the subcommittee reports just before we move on to the next item? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, business items. A, steps needed to enable district receipt of tax revenue.
Okay. We kind of covered that.
Yeah.
Unless anybody has any further questions, our first order of business is going to be the next item on the agenda, which is to approve the contract that says the county can collect taxes and assessments on our behalf. And then after that, we get our budget put together, the APN document, we do the updates on that. So there's a couple of items simultaneously we'll be doing, the big ones being the budget and the assessment list, and that will provide the pathway for the funding.
Okay, so actually this probably shouldn't have agendized. Anyway, there's no vote on this.
No action needed.
So that should have stayed under the report. Do you have a comment? So unless there's any public comment on item A, we'll move on to item B. So B is the resolution 2018-01 to appoint the auditor controller of Santa Barbara County as the treasurer of the Los Olivos Community Services District.
Okay, so this we actually don't need now.
Right.
The county came back and said, oh, wait a minute.
So can you just, for everyone's benefit, explain how we came full circle, literally, on this?
So in the various meetings that we had with the people of the county, this issue of we needed to, as a board, to pass a resolution to appoint the TRAC's treasurer office as the treasurer. But then the auditor's office said, no, it's the auditor's office as the treasurer. It went back and forth a few times, and finally Mr. Hagan, the actual treasurer tax collector, said, no, it's the treasurer tax collector, but we are by default your treasurer unless you pass a resolution otherwise. So, you know, after many go-arounds, this is the correct answer, that we don't need a resolution.
They are it.
They are it.
That's, yeah.
Perfect.
Welcome to our new world.
Okay, so that one can...
Okay, no so one. Then that just... There's no action.
No.
Right, and but I'm just no saying that's all. There's no, just no action.
Correct.
Okay. From an administrative point, there is no resolution either. So
that's correct.
No.
0-1 will be recycled.
Yes.
No. Okay.
Yes,
well,
no
yes.
One will be
yes.
Recycled.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Next item, approve contract with Santa Barbara County for the collection of special taxes,
right,
assessments, and other charges.
Here we go. So you all got a copy by as part of the board packet and electronically. So this contract was provided to us by Ed Price of the Auditor Controller's Office. And this document we need to do. It's a housekeeping item that basically says the County of Santa Barbara is authorized to collect taxes on our behalf.
And who created the contract? Did that come from the county?
Yeah, it came from the auditor, from Ed Price's office, the Auditor Controller's office.
Which their county council had reviewed. Is this pretty boilerplate? I just want to make sure.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We couldn't change it if we wanted to. I don't mind.
I mean, I read through it.
I
did see on Isla Vista's website, they had the exact same thing that they had approved and passed. So there's nothing sneaky in ours.
Okay.
But you don't really have an option.
No.
That's
no.
Right.
This is procedural stuff that has to be.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Any? Well, do I have a motion?
Is there a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the contract for the collection of special taxes, assessments, and other charges.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been first and seconded. Is there any discussion?
We don't have a choice.
I think the discussion.
Go ahead.
No.
There's a point of information. You might want to authorize somebody to execute a contract on behalf of the district.
That would be Tom.
Tom or Lisa, if we need to get it done.
So we should amend the. We should amend the.
Amend the motion.
Amend the motion.
An authorization to somebody to execute the contract.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll make a motion to approve the contract for the collection of special taxes and assessments and other charges with an amendment to authorize Lisa Palmer as the vice president in the absence of Tom Favor as president to sign the agreement. Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we've had an amended
mm-hmm.
motion, first and seconded. Any further discussion? Any
further discussion?
No. Thank you.
Okay, give me
for
one
your...
second just to make sure I get this
yeah.
right. Okay. Got it. Go ahead.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We have a contract. Thank you. Thank you, Julie, again for your work in getting us headed in the right direction and meeting. We've got some, you know, quick deadlines coming up, so I appreciate your work in getting us to meet those. All right. Item D, set a July and August meeting and board workshop dates. So... between the budget requirement, noticing requirements, and you tell me what window you think we need, and then we can go to what we have available.
Well, given the newspaper provision, which is our long pole, and I'm sure that it's Thursday, so we missed it for this week for the local newspaper.
Well, we have a couple options on the local newspaper, so I think we can see which one we can get in fastest.
Yeah, so I can first thing tomorrow is call and see who can do it quickest.
Just one. Being one.
Yeah.
Just one, not two?
Yeah.
All
one,
right.
One newspaper, general circulation.
That's Santa Maria, Lompoc, or Santa Barbara for us.
Or the Valley News.
No,
the Star.
I don't believe that's one.
Okay. We'll find out. Anyway,
yeah, so I'll take the action item to figure out who can do it for us quickly. And if we post, so one timeline idea is if we have it posted, the notice and the budget posted by June 28, we could then have our next meeting, I think it was July 10, right?
Yeah, so you're not available, and I didn't know if that meant you're gone or you could call in or
I could call in for the quorum. I'll be in San Diego.
Okay. I'm just thinking, given is that enough time? Well, we're going to need to go to the 10th to get the notice time properly, but then also give us any time prior to the 15th.
Is the 10th a Wednesday or a Thursday?
It is the Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not really helpful for you.
We should maybe look in the, just a few extra days.
I could be here on the 12th. I could be here on Thursday. But.
Is that going to be, is doing it Thursday though with the 15th over a weekend, is that an issue? That my only concern was that gives us no wiggle room if we've got to make any changes. And the 13th.
I can definitely phone in if need be or be a remote.
It doesn't provide us with much.
Just based on where we are, I'd hate to get us. If that's what we need to do, we'll do it. But that gives us no ability to really make any changes or solve any problems before the 15th.
Well, we don't have much choice anyway because of the 4th of July weekend, and, you know, we're right here at the end, so.
Just set up for the 10th and I'll figure a way to make it.
Yeah. Say that again?
Just keep it at the 10th and I'll figure a way to make it either.
Okay. So at that, we will. What do we need to agendize for the 10th then?
approval of the budget would be one. I'll try in the meantime too to have the contract with the county for financial services done, so we can just, you know, knock that out. We should be able to have the updated parcel list ready, reviewed, and any changes and that ready to pass, so we could pass the we don't have to do that right away, but we could at least have the updated parcel list available to review for any last minute changes.
Okay.
And then, but we'd want to make sure we pass the resolution, etc. Well, let me think about this a second, because we wanted to have that done by the 27th.
Well, we don't have to set the agenda. I'm just for all of us and for the public, just know what's coming in, you know, 2 weeks' time, really.
Okay, so it would be the budget. That would be a key item, too.
Okay. So primarily the budget, and if we can have either the APN for approval or at a minimum review, and then the potentially a resolution regarding...
The resolution would be... the special assessment levy, which would show on the APN.
Okay, so that's kind of one of the, potentially yeah. one.
And then we'll have there's some other submission requirements that we could might be able to have ready by that time. Those have the July 27.
So we'd be looking at Tuesday, July 10 is what we're saying. Okay, does that work for you, Brian?
Yes, the 10th is.
Okay. The other item would be the contract for legal services. And I think we just need to decide. I kind of want to speak with Tom first about what our options are for potentially getting that authorized prior to the 10th, just so we have the benefit of counsel going into that process.
Are we going to have a second meeting in July?
Well, we could continue. Let's see. If we're doing the third Thursday.
But Tom still wouldn't be back by then, right?
He's back the 30th of June.
Of June, okay.
He's not going to, yeah.
I thought it was July.
So the 27th is a Friday. And
are you talking about July?
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just... So the third Thursday is actually...
The 19th.
19th. I think we do the 10th and the 19th.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we should do both. If there's any holdover, we have time.
Yeah. So special.
To accomplish it on the 19th.
Okay, and then if I'll talk to.
Thursday the 19th.
Director, yeah, but I'll talk to Director Fayram about his, what our options are, if he's comfortable moving forward with the legal contract, because if we do want to, then we can notice that as a special meeting and do that in advance, but I don't feel comfortable moving forward on that without his, without his blessing. So I'll take that on as following up with him. That, if that works for you.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
So given, if we do the 10th, I'm going to ask you a question, Ross.
Sure.
I can get this the notice posted in the paper that it would be that the budget will be available for public review by June 28th.
It has to be 2 weeks. So you're posting a notice, right?
Right.
The government code says no later than July 1st and no shorter than 2 weeks after July 1st or whatever it is. That's when the budget's going to be made available. So it gives people 2 weeks to basically plan whether they're going to be rushing down to the post office or looking online to find the budget.
Okay.
And that's going to be the preliminary budget that the directors have approved. Okay? It's not the final budget approval. Final budget approval comes after that, if whatever your next meeting is that you're going to have the approval of the budget to finalize it, that will be.
So if we do the notice in the paper that says it will be available as early as June 28th.
Well, today's the 21st, so you wouldn't be able to do 14 days. That'd be too soon.
Oh, we actually have to do 14 days on this. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that timeline doesn't work.
Yeah, so no later than July 1st. The notice has to be published in a newspaper of general circulation in this district, and it has to say that no sooner than 14 days after that notice, that's when the preliminary budget will be made available, where it will be made available, and there's some certain language that says that the public can review it, provide input, etc. And then the final budget will be held at whatever meeting it is that you designate. The final budget will be on the agenda. And the only caveat is that you have to have your final budget approved and sent to the county before September 1st, August 30th. It's a little confusing. I think that code is 60 or 70 years old, so, but it is what it is.
Pretty good.
Okay, all right. Well, that doesn't work then. So.
Well, we'd have to have it available on the 27th. And it'd have to be noticed in the paper and noticed on the 27th.
No, is it?
No, but it has to be 2 weeks from that.
It's 2 weeks from the day of the notice in the paper before we can
Before we can even put it out? So it's
yes.
a month.
Yes.
You're saying a month.
A month.
It's 2 weeks. So
wait.
Before we can even put the budget out.
Assume that your notice was published today. Okay.
Oh, then the notice goes, then it's published.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not so having a meeting to consider it.
Right. So the notice is published today. And it says in 2 weeks,
the budget
14
will be
days,
budget will be
the
available.
Preliminary budget will be made available. This is where you can go get it.
Got it. Okay. I'm
this
with you now.
This is the time
it's
going to be made available and certain language that the statute requires.
Once the budget's out, how long does the public have to review? Is there a time stipulation?
There's no minimum requirement.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was a two-week requirement.
Whatever your next meeting is, to say that you will be considering the preliminary budget, taking feedback, or you will be considering the final budget. You just need to specify which one you're going to do. So a common practice would be you publish your notice. 2 to 3 weeks later, you say that the budget's going to be released. And then whatever the next meeting is, give a couple weeks for people to digest it,
right.
Get their thoughts together, reschedule their vacations so they can come in to your meeting. And then you can say either you're going to have a preliminary budget discussion or a workshop where you take in all the feedback. You give yourself time to make any adjustments based on the public's feedback, and then you set it for a next meeting for the discussion and the approval of the final budget.
1 month.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
So,
yeah.
And we have to, so maybe I have the wrong So we just have to then have it to the county, as you heard you say, by October.
August
30th.
August 30th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, so that's a little, that's not August 1st, that's August 30th.
Right. Although I know that when in the discussion with the Auditor Controller's office, they felt it would be helpful to have a budget, you know, about the time that they're going to make the funds available.
Yeah.
Can they have a preliminary? I mean, does it have to be approved?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yes.
That would be helpful for them, but we have to get it. We have to.
Well, that's the mid-August timeline.
That's their perfect world.
Yeah.
So we need to get it. What we need to do is notice it tomorrow.
Right.
Get the clock running. Okay.
When does the budget start? I mean, you're spending unbudgeted funds right now. Does the budget, is it backdated?
It's if it's for the fiscal year, you make appropriations or you make the budget for the fiscal year.
So July 1 through June 30th.
Exactly.
So July 1 it would start.
Right.
That's
pretty good timing.
You're not spending any money right now. So
yeah, we're not spending anything.
So these funds will be for July 1 through June 2019.
Right.
How much funds are we going to be given to us or be available to us?
Well, the ballot measure was for $200,000, and we are not going to request more than 75% of that for the first year.
For that's right.
So we have plenty of wiggle room if we.
Okay, so with that discussion, we're not going to be approving a budget on July 10th.
No.
Correct.
So we're not even going to be able to consider. Well,
it would be if we get it noticed tomorrow.
Yeah, we could.
Published. It has to be published.
Published. That's what I mean. Published tomorrow.
It's not
the notice.
It's not going to happen tomorrow.
The notice is published, right?
So we could. So now I'm thinking out loud. Leave the regular meeting for the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Find out when we can get published because that's when the timeline starts. And then if there's enough time, if it makes sense to call a meeting prior to the 19th, we'll do that. Because right now, I mean, that's only a week, and
But we have to say in the notice when the meeting is.
You have to say in the notice when the budget's going to be made available.
So we can. So all that is putting it up on, we can put that, it'll be at the post office and it'll be online. So we don't.
Well, we can't do it before 2 weeks after it's published.
No.
That's right.
Okay.
14 days after it's published, we can.
So we can still move forward with the preliminary budget and publish that. That's because that's just for consideration. The board, she prepares it. We're considering because there's no meeting that says, yes, put that one up.
For example, so we're not talking abstracts.
Right.
If you have the notice published tomorrow, so that's the Friday the 22nd,
second,
right? So the 29th, what is that? The 6th, July 6th. Is the earliest that the budget could be posted for the public to review. And then if you wanted to, you can have your normal meeting on the third Thursday, and you can have a preliminary budget discussion item on your agenda. And you would just notice that normally 72 hours before, like you do with the regular Brown stuff.
I think we should probably do that.
Yeah.
Unless something comes up and says we have to move it up instead of jamming ourselves.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So would it be wise to schedule a meeting for August 2nd then? Supplemental meeting?
For immediately two weeks after the 19th.
Okay, well, I'd like to propose we have a special meeting as soon as we can to authorize contract because we need help.
We need help.
Well, that's going to be my conversation with
and
Tom.
This is like the test drive,
Yeah. I know. That's going to be my conversation with Tom.
If he is
willing to call an emergency meeting in order to authorize and let the legal counsel contract, then we'll move forward with that. But I just, it's our second meeting, he's the president, I'm not making that decision.
Is there sample language somewhere for this notice that goes in the paper?
Yeah.
I'm sure
I think there's CSDA.
Okay, oh, that's a good idea, I'll check there, okay.
Yeah.
And the county.
Okay.
So we're on for the 19th.
Yes.
So. That's the first thing we need to do and just say, yes, that's what we're going to do. Right?
Next meeting is the 19th.
Right.
And then
that's our next regularly scheduled meeting if we're sticking with the third Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're scratching the 10th?
Yes.
Yeah.
After all that. Any other comments from the directors on any item? Anything else from the public? Thank you all for coming and participating.
Thank you for doing all this. Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Thanks. All right, before, so I need a motion to adjourn at 7:30.
Wow, that went fast.
I have a motion.
Oh, a second.
Yeah. All right, it's first and second. Any discussion? I think so. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, opposed? No. All right. Great.
It's very
Thank
nice
you.
For you to volunteer your time.
Thank you. Happy to do it.
And you guys too. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep coming back.
Make sure to leave a